Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to episode 128 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? By popular demand, I'm doing another show with guests. It is Thanksgiving week, and I am going to be thankful that I have two brilliant guests. I have my friend and fellow NPR, don't tell me, alumnus, Maz Jobrani.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
What's up, Maz?
This is great.
Brilliant comic and has a new book out, a great book. I'm not a terrorist, but I've played one on TV.
All right. I'll take it.
You can get that on Amazon and his website. And then we have Sully McCullough, who I just describe as the writer to the stars. I've known Sully, I don't know how long. If you've heard a comedian, Sully wrote one of his jokes, whether it be Jamie Foxx or Anthony Anderson, or the list goes on and on. He's written for the Tonight Show. He's written for the BET Awards, Soul Train Awards, and on and on. He does. He's a machine.
That's
he
hilarious.
Writes. He writes for everybody. So thank you, Sully.
I appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of people don't even know that I write for a lot of people and on a lot of stuff. They just know me as Crazy Legs from Don't Be a Menace.
And that is
the credit that never dies.
An iconic role.
It is an iconic role.
Yeah, it is an iconic role. So you will be remembered for that. But that's the thing about being a writer, right? It's an anonymous.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know, as
it
far
is.
As the public's
yes,
concerned,
exactly.
It's an anonymous
thing. People are like, well, what
thing.
Are you doing now? It's like, yeah, I'm doing stuff.
Well, a lot of people don't know that people write the jokes.
No, they think they just happen.
They just
right.
happen,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, and then they lose a little bit of, they actually kind of get sad when they find out that somebody writes for someone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it takes a little bit of the shine away.
Yeah. And just so you listeners know, before you lose respect for comedians, it's not like anyone writes all of our jokes.
No.
It's just somebody, you know, especially with special occasions like the award shows.
Yeah, like the last award show I wrote for Jamie Foxx on the iHeart Radio
right.
Music Awards, which was cool because that was like primetime NBC, and there was a lot of really cool guests. And just to, you know, run comedy through these big music shows, that was pretty, I enjoyed it.
All right. So, you know, that's a good lead in for our first topic, which will be the terrorists attacking Paris.
Yes.
See how that comes together?
Wow. Yeah. That's a smooth transition.
Easy.
You wrote jokes for President Hollande, right? Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hollande.
Right.
So here's the thing. We know about the Paris attacks, and we know how horrible and ridiculous it was. And when I say ridiculous, what I mean is, it shows terrorism is so random, because I talked about this on a prior podcast. This is Friday night, and you're going to, whether it be you going to a soccer match or a concert or to dinner, this is any of us on Friday night. You just went out randomly, and that's the ridiculousness of it. That's why you can't protect yourself, because that could be anywhere, could happen to anyone. So anyway, that happened, and of course, it takes about an hour for the politicians to start speaking. But this past week, Hillary Clinton gave a speech, and I happened to be watching this speech. And if you saw it, the nuance of her speech was incredible. That's what hit me. She talked about, besides talking about how horrible it is and the tragedy, she got into what's behind this. And what really surprised me, and I'll say impressed me, she even got on our allies and explained like how Turkey, although Turkey's an ally of ours, you know, them bombing the Kurds are fighting ISIS. So that's ISIS is a bigger problem. And she got on Saudi Arabia for independent Saudis sending money to support terrorists. And she's like, we have to stop it on all fronts. We, you know, the military front, but also on the cyber front. She was like calling on Silicon Valley to help bring down the websites. And basically a full spectrum.
She took a global view to it.
Thank you.
Yes.
A global view on it. And then Donald Trump said, let's bomb the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm. In typical Trump fashion.
Right. And of course, who's getting more press?
Well, the loudest argument is usually the weakest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, the dude that just says, let's bomb them, that just shows you what he doesn't know about. You do have to be nuanced in this. You know what I mean? I'll use the crazy woman analogy. You know what I mean? You can't say, I'll hit you if
right.
you don't act right. I mean, you can, but it probably won't work.
Yeah.
You have to be a little more nuanced.
Well, the would hope, unless you're in the NFL.
Yeah, well, then it's a
different. And you know what's coming. No, here's the problem. The problem is, I think, that we get caught up in this blind patriotism. We get caught up in, in this thing of us versus them. First of all, who is them? Bomb the hell out of who? Because I've been reading a lot of stuff about how ISIS actually wants to draw us in. Because if you go out and start just bombing the areas that ISIS supposedly has, what these guys do is they pull out, they leave citizens in. So we're going to kill innocent victims, right?
Sure.
Now they have an easier job of convincing those people who were living under their rule and not converting to their extremism to suddenly go, see, we told you all along these guys want to fight us.
Right.
Now they're bombing the S out of us. So now they get more converts. So first of all, the idea of who are you bombing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You numbnut, all right? Number one. Number two, these people that talk like this, like you just said, the beauty of listening to what Hillary Clinton said, she's like, listen, this is a complicated situation. We have allies who supposedly are on our side, but are supporting these terrorists,
yeah.
Saudi Arabia, Turkey, what you just said, right? And the ones that come out and go just bomb the crap out of them, it reminds me again of like the arguments that we had going into the Iraq war with Dick Cheney and convincing Americans that, you know, this is what we got to do to protect ourselves, is just bomb the crap out of these people and move on. Well, unfortunately, that just creates more enemies. We created ISIS, if you go back to it.
Well, that's what she was talking about, that, about how when people feel marginalized, when people feel attacked, those are the easy recruits for ISIS.
Absolutely.
Those are
or if you're an outsider, it's you're also easy prey.
Right. And exactly what you said. And I said this before. I said this even when they were looking for bin Laden. The problem that we don't understand, and when I say we, I mean Americans and even the Western world doesn't respect, is that when you go to the Middle East, people look the same to you because you're from a different culture. It's a different look. Just like, and I said, you know, when we say them, right, and you said, who are them? And it's the bad ones. Well, which one? Well, it's all of them. Just bomb all of them. I said, it's the same thing. If you took a guy from the Middle East, from Jordan, and dropped him in Malibu and said, find this blonde girl, he'd be like, well, they all look exactly the same. Because to him, culturally, it's completely different. So the them, what she was talking about is the nuance of them. So now I'm going to say, and we know Trump's thing. Trump aims for the base, and he says something. And when I say the base, I mean, I call him NASCAR.
Yeah,
sure. It's the NASCAR crowd.
Actually, that's a little bit of an insult to NASCAR.
It is an insult to NASCAR.
There's some cool people in NASCAR. You're right.
I don't have a better term for it. So I take that back to when we had soccer moms and NASCAR dads.
Sure.
Right? Because that used to be the code. The first time Obama ran in 2008, NASCAR dad was the code for racist white guy.
Wow.
They tried to appeal to him. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
They used to code their racism. Now they don't. There's no code anymore. They just straight out bring the racists in.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But when he says that, he appeals to that lowest common denominator. So here's my question. What do you guys think? This in 2012, I think America surprised me. They surprised me by the amount by which Barack Obama won the election, which told me the grown-ups come out on election day. The intelligent people come out on election day. And he blew away Mitt Romney because the grown-ups looked at his record and said, oh, this guy's doing a great job. We want to keep him as president. So will the grown-ups come out when the election comes and say, Donald Trump, are you kidding? We're not voting for this guy.
Is that people have been talking about Donald Trump's popularity dissipating for a while, and it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which that surprises me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're still a good ways away. So, you know, you got to hope for the best. got to hope the grown-ups wake up. But right now, it is surprising to me that he still is a lightning rod, and people respond to that. I think people respond to that tough talk because it sounds good. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
I've got a buddy that's a big dude that all he talks about is, man, I wish I was there.
Yeah.
I would have done something. And it all sounds great, but he's sitting on his couch.
Is that Ben Carson?
We like simple. Again, it goes back to the idea of not understanding any of this stuff. It's like when September 11th happened, a lot of people were saying, well, they hit us because they don't like our freedoms. I'm like, really? They don't like our freedoms? I believe there were strip clubs the night before. That's what I've heard.
Right.
And who cares, even if that's the case? Listen, there's not, because they didn't hit us because of our freedoms. Let's look at our politics. Let's look at who our allies are. Let's look at where we are and what we're doing. You know how easy it is right now to convert? Like if there is a kid that's somewhere, whether it's in the Middle East or in the West, and has a tendency to be a little, a kid is lost right now, and the kid's like in his early 20s, has no goal in life, and they just look at a video of us bombing and showing like, you know, young babies dead in the Palestinian territories, or let's say in Pakistan or something. It's easy to convert those guys to go and fight, right? So we're not understanding the reason when we say just bomb the hell out of them, right?
Right.
So a guy like Trump right now is very popular, but I do think the adults will come out when the voting comes. The unfortunate thing is a lot of Americans don't vote. The people that get affected the most, the people that get stepped on, don't go out and vote.
But they do vote in the presidential elections, and that's why the Republicans,
you got to have something that gravitates them, that they feel the need to come out.
Yeah. Like the percentage, what was the percentage during last election? Probably like no more than like 60%.
Only half of our country votes. That's
what
true.
I'm saying.
But normally, like half is good, because normally only like 10 or 12%. Vote. Well, I just made that number up, but it's a low. It's a low percent. Like, that's why they say that's why Republicans win as governors and in Congress, because in the midterm elections, the Democrats tend to not vote, and the Republicans vote, and they get a lot of one party issue voters. So you get the anti-abortion or the pro-gun. They come out in droves and they vote for the governor they like. That's why we have a bunch of governors saying no Syrian refugees will be allowed in my state. Now, obviously, these governors have not seen the Constitution, nor do they understand there's no border between the states. So it's like, how are you going to keep them out? I said it before. They're like guns. They can go to any state they want.
Yeah.
You know, but they say this because, like you said, it appeals to their base. But I think, I hope that the grown-ups will come out. Now, the interesting thing with this is this foreign policy issue hurt Ben Carson, because it came out that Ben Carson, who is running supposedly neck and neck with Trump, then people see his picture. That, oh, shit, he's black?
Right.
That's done.
Right. But, there's a black
name. Wait a minute. Yeah. I heard him on radio. I didn't know. They said he was a surgeon. You sure?
Yeah, they're looking for an excuse to drop in.
I didn't know he was Uncle Ben.
But it hurt Ben Carson to know nothing about foreign policy. So far, it hasn't seemed to hurt Donald Trump. And while we're on the topic of Trump, and I'm sick of the topic of Trump, believe me, to me, Trump is like the Kardashians. Like, you don't want to talk about it, but you have to, because it's where he's there.
Yeah, it's the consciousness.
It's the consciousness of the nation. So now we had the Trump rally in Alabama, okay, and a black, let's call him a protester, okay, because he was with Black Lives Matter, even though I don't think he yelled too loud. But Mercutio Southall, at a Trump rally, Trump said, get rid of this guy. And they beat him and they kicked him. And it was on, you know, CNN. They shot the video. They basically beat this guy down for being at the Trump rally. And the next day on Fox News, Trump said, well, he deserved to be roughed up for being there. So this is what I was talking about, where the racism used to be coded and
subtle.
Yeah, now
it's not coded at all.
Now it's like, okay, you're at our rally, I love the use of the word rally, because there's another kind of rally in the South
that
black people aren't too welcome at.
And we're not talking about stock car rallies.
Listen, there used to also be, like, the people running for office were like statesmen.
Sure.
You know, there was a propriety, you know, like they
conducted themselves in a way where they were above things.
Yeah, they're supposed to say, you know, now I know some of my followers got out of hand, and of course I don't condone it, but, you know, it's unfortunate. I hope it doesn't happen. You know, like you're supposed to say that at least to the press, and then behind closed doors.
Yeah, pretend you don't endorse it.
Yeah, behind closed doors, be like, that son of a bitch had to come. You know what I'm saying?
Right, you're supposed to.
But now we're in such a desensitized world, where a guy like that, I mean, it's a joke, really. If you really sat there and looked at the guy, you're like, this dude is, like you said, he's like a WWF guy running for president. Mm-hmm. And for him to be able to get up there and be like, yeah, that was, you know, he had it coming. You know, he sounds like, it's like a mob boss.
Sure.
You're not supposed to let that guy run.
Yeah, it's like a video game bad guy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, how is that guy going to be diplomatic with any world leader in any situation?
Well, he's not. He's not. He's just going to bomb him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, well, see, and I still don't take the Trump candidacy seriously. Like, I think at some point he's going to come up with his own exit strategy.
You're probably right.
Because he knows what he doesn't know. But you look at that idea. What are world leaders thinking just looking at this? The fact that he's leading in the polls, like, people don't respect us around the world because you allowed it. This is the same as the Sarah Palin phenomenon.
Absolutely.
When it was like, imagine her being a heartbeat away from the presidency and the rest of the world was like, well, no, no.
Let me tell you.
You wouldn't really.
Let me tell you, I performed. I did a thing in Mexico, and you mentioned Trump, and they boo the hell out of him. It's great to watch how much people dislike this guy, the rest of the world. You do not want that to be your leader.
I also think it's pretty interesting that people that, reasonable people completely dismiss, that a whole nother faction takes seriously, how real that is to those people. Like, I remember when I was writing on The Tonight Show, it was in the middle of Sarah Palin's campaign. And, you know, you're being paid to write monologue jokes. So writing Sarah Palin jokes, that's how I paid the bills.
Yeah.
And you would get people calling into the show that would be so adamant about, you leave Sarah Palin alone. She's a good woman and she'll make a fine leader.
For one point,
they meant it.
Don't mean to interrupt you, but passion. Just one thing. People, if you notice the Southern accent in his delivery on that, that's where the Sarah Palin supporters are.
Well, no, you know,
and the Trump supporters. You know, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just go ahead. So, but
it was, I mean, there was passion about it. Like, these were just jokes. You know what I mean? And she gave us a lot of material.
Listen, if you step back and you look at it, a lot of people live on fear. And that's what I think the Republican Party does a great job of doing, is instilling fear. And so these people that are supporters of the Palins and the Trumps really feel like either an ISIS is going to get them, or Obama's health care is going to get them, or Obama's really a Muslim who's trying to do, like, they are living
He's not.
Listen, man, I go to the mosque every day looking for this guy.
And you haven't seen him?
I have not seen him.
All right. Well, you're in, so you would know.
But I'm just saying, it's like these people live on fear. So when you go,
I don't want to cut you off, but I'll take it even further. I think that there's this notion in the country right now that the white man has lost his power base in this country. And that's why Donald Trump is so powerful. And why he's somewhat taken seriously.
But that's fear. Again,
he stands for a guy that's not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, but underneath that all is fear.
Oh, absolutely.
Fear that black people are taking over.
Yes, absolutely.
Fear that the Muslims and the immigrants are coming. The Mexicans are coming. All you got to sit there
and say. It's fear that you're going to lose what's stolen, that you've stolen.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem. Because, see, if you have some sense of gray, and it's not just all black and white and all fear, then you have a sense of humor about it. Then when somebody makes fun of you, you go, that's funny, man.
Right.
Okay, you're right. Sarah Palin's a little crazy.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I like her policies because of da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
But when you sit there and you go, you can't make fun of, how dare you? No, Donald Trump is telling the truth. He is speaking the truth.
Right.
He is saying what I've been thinking all along.
Right.
As opposed to sitting there and going like, yeah, he says some nutty stuff. But that said, you know, his tax policies, I agree on, and I do feel that we should be a little more interventionist or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing about Donald Trump, and I love you brought up fear because that's going to lead right into the next story I want to talk about. But thing about Donald Trump, when you say his tax policies, he has none. That's the thing about the Trump presidency. Yeah. There hasn't been one policy
stating that
you could say, okay, this is it, or that, you know, other than, you know, Muslims should carry cards,
right?
Identifying themselves. And
that's purely an American closed-minded viewpoint, because, you know, we all travel as stand-ups. The first time I went to London, what do you see? You see people of all colors, you see Muslims everywhere, and they're not the scary Muslims that you've been taught to believe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, so just getting out of your comfort zone and going somewhere else, you go, oh, okay, I got to adjust my thinking.
Well, Americans don't, though. We don't leave the United States.
It's a big country.
And to their defense of some people, it's expensive to travel internationally. And like you said, it's a big country. And Sula, your point, and this is one of the things I love about this country. And like when people talk about, I want to be president, this or that, the other. And it's like, really, think about being president. You have to appeal to that diverse a crowd. So you have a crowd that sits there and thinks that Trump and Sarah Palin are speaking
are
the
legitimate.
Truth. You have my favorite example is Swamp People, which is a show. They're speaking English and there are English subtitles.
Hilarious.
You know, if you've ever seen it. Yeah, there are English subtitles on that show, right? But you have to appeal to them. And then you also have to appeal to Wall Street, San Francisco, and the South Side of Chicago.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's the diversity of the United States. You have to get enough people, either some of all of those people or all of another group, to actually win.
Why are you even going regional? You have to appeal to all the members of Congress, which is what Barack wins.
Fortunately, you don't.
But you do because Barack wins, and the first thing a bunch of the Republicans say is we're gonna oppose all of his policies. Basically, they said we're not gonna let him pass anything.
Right.
So now this guy's like, wait a minute, I'm the president. We had a vote. I won. And now you're gonna push back on everything that I put out?
The great thing about this, and this is why, and I may not be alive to see it maybe 50 or 100 years from now, but one day they're going to look back and they're going to be like, holy shit, Barack Obama was a great president.
Sure.
Because healthcare completely changed, saved the auto industry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these things he did with Congress 100% against him. Like, it's like, imagine if Congress supported him, what he could have done, you know, and at some point they're going to look at that. But getting back to fear, and it's funny, you talked about being in Mexico. I was recently in Mexico doing a gig at a resort that happened to be mainly Canadians. And you talk about Mexicans cheered. Canadians are afraid. Like, Canadians know how crazy we are. So when you mention Trump, they're afraid. Like,
sure.
All right, you guys, you wouldn't really
do
that.
Really, you guys don't really like it.
Because they know the shit we're capable of.
Right.
They're like, wait a minute, you wouldn't really do this. Because, you know, you did elect Arnold.
Yeah.
So it could happen.
Sure, absolutely.
But getting to fear, and Maz, you and I were talking about this. Okay, Southwest Airlines removed Muslim passengers from the plane because they were speaking Arabic before they got on the plane. And these two guys, and I will probably butcher the names, but Mahir Khalil and Anas Ayad.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's nice.
Khalil.
Pronunciation.
Khalil. Mahir Khalil. Khalil.
Yes.
Khalil.
Okay. So I don't have the high part. I don't have that.
Well, that's what got them kicked off the plane.
Exactly.
They were kicked off the plane. They did let them back on the plane and go on the flight. But here's the thing that's really funny about this, and it shows just how much fear and prejudice, how stupid it is, and how stupid it makes people. Now, these people, okay, white people, heard these two Arab guys speaking Arabic, said they can't get on the plane, blah, blah, blah. And you have the whole Republican Party. Damn right, them some bitches shouldn't be allowed to fly, blah, 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 blah. Right?
This is a Trumpian moment.
Yeah.
This is America. Speak American.
If these two guys were white, they've been in the country for 15 years, they own a pizzeria in Philly, like a small business. You know what I mean? Like, these are the guys. These are Joe the plumber. This is Joe the fucking plumber. You know what I mean? They would love these guys, but these guys happen to be brown and speak Arabic. And then on another note, what is it with Southwest and throwing people off the planes? The girl's skirt was too short. Southwest threw her off the plane. And Kevin Smith, the director, he was too fat. Southwest. Southwest. Hey, Southwest, here's an idea. If they bought a ticket, let them on the fucking plane.
Right. Right. They're more concerned with the bags than the people.
Right. Right. No, so, first of all, I don't know if you read the rest of it, but these guys, they came back on supposedly they had a white box, and the passengers were like, what do you got in the box? And the guy opens it up, and it's Arabic sweets.
Oh, really?
And he shared it with him. He's like, go ahead, have some of the sweets, dude.
Right.
Relax. And secondly, I've been saying this for a long time, because Alonzo, this has been happening now for a long time. There was another family, like, years ago. I put it on my special before about, like, this other Muslim family who's walking down the aisle speaking Arabic. And the passenger overheard them and kicked them off the plane. I was like, first of all, as a Middle Easterner, because I'm born in Iran, so I go, I thought I wasn't supposed, you know, there's certain things I'm not supposed to say on an airplane. Like, I'm not supposed to be walking down the aisle and be like, hi, Jack, you know, even if I got a friend named Jack, I'm not supposed to say that, right? But I was saying, like, now we got to, like, we can't even speak our mother tongue, so you got to, like my Arab brothers, I always say, like, you got to throw in some friendly words, like, just as you're walking down the aisle going, like, halama, 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 strawberry, you know, halama, halama, you know, put people at ease. But here's my point, man. If they're ISIS or Al-Qaeda, they're not going to show up an hour early, go right. sit at the gate.
Right.
You know, speak loud Arabic.
Bring sweets.
Yeah, like hang out with like a Kalashnikov or something. You know, they're right. going to be blending in. The dude holding the flowers that's like, hello, my friend, we're going for a good flight. That's the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not these guys that are walking down the...
Right.
They're so
right.
stupid.
Right. Well, the other thing is this good practice? Can we just get anyone we don't feel comfortable with kicked off a plane? Because if I'm getting on... And I might hear three white guys with a Southern accent and say, hey, wait a minute. I don't feel comfortable with them on the plane. You know, I mean, right. seriously, like right. you can pick any group that's not you
sure.
and say you don't feel comfortable. Listen, I'm a large black guy. As Sully knows, I'm a sizist. All right. I tend to pick on black guys under 6 feet tall. That's
right.
You know,
right. That's what you do.
But OK, like this happened recently. I got on a flight. It was really funny. This brother sitting next to me, he said, yo, man, are you affiliated with the NBA? And that's always funny with me because white people always ask me if I'm a pro ball player. And I'm like, right. yes, I'm the oldest ball player.
Right.
But he asked me, I said, no, man. He said, oh, because I'm an agent with the NBA. And we started talking. And then another guy sat behind us and he plays on the Clippers.
Uh-huh.
Right. So now you had these three big black guys wearing right. Nike gear
right.
getting on the plane.
Right.
I'm sure some people were like, hey, wait a minute.
Right.
Get his autograph.
What's going
get
on?
Get his yeah. autograph.
Do we get his autograph?
Right.
Or do we, you know, is that a hoodie?
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
Where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line?
Listen,
on,
man, people
I don't like the way you look or sound.
People flying are on edge. You know, we fly all the time, so it's like I get in there, I put a little eye thing over my eyes, I have a little hoodie, I tie the thing, all you see is my nose, I go to sleep, I'm like
sure.
I'm out of it. But I've seen people are on edge, people bring their issues on the plane. I got on a plane recently at 5 a.m. there was this lady who, lack of a better word, she was kind of white trash, but she was in first class, so I don't know what her deal was. But she was pounding beers at 5 a.m.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, this lady's got drinking issues,
going
right?
On. Yeah.
So people bring their issues on board. And the unfortunate thing, Alonzo, is you read the stuff about Southwest and the recent stuff happening. This stuff continues to happen. You know how many news pieces we have not heard? Like, I read it and I get like, you know, I'm looking for it to see the discrimination against Muslims and Arabs and stuff. There was a lady on an airplane wearing the hijab. Who this went down. She asked for a drink, like a Coke. The lady poured the Coke for her. She goes, can I get the can? And the lady goes, no, I can't give you the can.
Oh, yeah, that happened
yeah.
recently.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the argument became, and then she poured a beer for somebody, gave him the can.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lady goes, why does he get the beer and the can? I don't get the Coke in the can. She goes, well, the can could be used as a weapon. And then the lady's like, what? And now listen, as a traveler, I know that when you buy the beer, they give you the beer. When you get the Coke, they just pour the Coke. So all
right.
the stewardess had to say was, look, he bought the beer, he gets the can, da 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 da. But she said, you can use this as a weapon. And so then she started feeling like, wait a minute, this lady's accusing me because I'm wearing the hijab of having a weapon. And what turned ugly was supposedly some dude from the article I read and this lady talking, supposedly some of the passengers turned on her.
Sure.
Like one dude was like, yeah, you know, you're Muslim. You could use that as a weapon or something like that.
Sure,
something
sure,
crazy
sure,
where you're like,
sure.
what?
Well, she was part Muslim and part ninja.
Part ninja, exactly.
So she knew how to use a Coke can to silently kill 15 passengers.
Yeah.
It was,
right.
you know, and
it's only the Coke can. It's not
right.
the beer can.
No, no.
I'm not dismissing you at all, Maz, but it's one of those things. We can go to those stories. It's just like black people being beaten and killed by cops, you literally can't name all of them. You know what I mean? It happens.
Yeah, it happens all the time. So and it's even more absurd. I mean, I don't know if you heard the story about the Napa wine bus where the black women were laughing too loud. And they were laughing too loud and they were kicked off the bus. You know what I mean?
On a wine tour. They were touring wineries.
You know?
So we could go on and on. And again, I'm not dismissing it. The one that was funny to me was the woman who went on the news, and I think it was on CNN, but it might have been on MSNBC, but she had the hijab and it was an American flag.
Yeah.
And they got on her saying it was disrespectful and blah, blah, blah. And then they showed picture of people, you know, with the American flag underwear.
Sure.
And the American flag, you know, painted on the side of this. And it is like, but for her, it was disrespectful. The guy with the suit lining, it was a congressman, I think.
Right,
he opened
right,
up his suit.
Right.
He had to coordinate.
Right, right, exactly.
So, so, you know, and I'll say it, I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's one of my favorite quotes from Albert Einstein. The difference between genius and stupidity is genius has its limits.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow.
That's great.
You know, so
it's too bad, though, that there's nothing we can do in America to make ourselves less threatening. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen Muslims in convenience stores wearing American ties. So, you know, it's like that subtle cue that, hey, I'm, you know, I'm on your team. I'm an American.
Yeah.
But there's really nothing you can do that makes you.
Well, there is actually, and again, Maz and I were talking about this earlier. You can do like Rubio and Cruz and actually Ben Carson. And this is a fascinating thing that these Republican candidates do. You just completely deny reality. You just literally completely. So you have Rubio and Cruz, who are children of Cuban immigrants, refugees, who literally, if we had the policy that they want, they would not be in this country. And they just completely deny it exists. Like, no, they like, don't argue with it. No, I do a joke that it's literally like a Jedi mind trick. Like, you are the son of a Cuban refugee. Like, no, I am not the son of a Cuban refugee. And then it goes away.
Yeah.
You have Ben Carson, right? Ben Carson grew up at various points in his life. His mother got food stamps, welfare, or government assistance, and he said government assistance is the worst thing that ever happened to black people. This guy became a surgeon,
right?
Yeah, so, so again, you just you
benefited from it.
You
but
don't argue
the door has
it.
To be closed.
You don't argue
because it doesn't
You just
exist.
Totally deny it exists. So if I come to you and I say, you know, Maz Jobrani, you know, Persian comic, he came from Iran, and you just, I am not from Iran.
Yeah,
and
I'm
like, oh, never mind. Yeah. He's not from Iran. Right. I made that up.
Listen, man, this is what it is. I think, again, it goes back to fear. Fear kicks logic out the door. Because if you look at it, like you said, like people now are afraid that there's going to be ISIS sneaking in through these Syrian refugees. Well, listen, ISIS, first of all, a lot of the people that are that we should be worrying about are actual American citizens. Some of those guys, the guys that did the stuff in France were citizens of, I think they were France or Belgian citizens. Like
Belgium.
They were, Belgian. Yeah. So they were already citizens who then were looking for a cause and got converted, and that's what they did. So they weren't the immigrants coming out. And by the way, the immigrants that are trying to get out are the ones that are being persecuted. Now,
the victims.
Yeah, they're the victims. And you could, listen, I read again somewhere where it said, like, since 9/11, the number of immigrants that we've let into this country, like, not one of them has turned out to be a terrorist. And their vetting process is this crazy vetting process.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easier to get a visitation visa and sneak in that way. So all that logic, if you sit there and, like, if this were like a court and you had a lawyer going, like, look, let me show you, here's the 20 different reasons why you know, we should not be worried as much about the Syrian refugees and someone sneaking in through them, but rather someone from within maybe converting to, you know, ISIS, these guys go, no, you know, we found one passport at the France bombing that was a fake Syrian passport. So this guy went to Greece, you know, like they use that as the example, and they go, we're scared of it all, you know.
Right.
And so logic goes out the door. Fear makes it. And then people in America go, that's right, man. Like these Syrians are coming to get us. I'm not going to trust the Syrians. I'm like, you know who you should be more worried about, you know, the crazy white kid going nuts and coming and shooting you at the coffee shop. You know, that's what we get killed by. So the Republican debate, they were asking, they're like, what's the number one threat to Americans? And I tweeted out, I go, the number one threat to Americans is Americans.
Right.
You got that right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the truth.
Right.
But we get so freaked out about this thing. First of all, listen, man, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. We don't know how or when or what, all right?
Right.
And the fact is, listen, if ISIS is going to get you, you're not going to know what's coming. You're going to be somewhere doing something that's going to happen. But then again, a tree could fall on your head and kill you. You can get in a car accident. You get the crazy kid next door comes get you. Your eating habits are going to kill you.
Right.
Right? Look at what you're eating. Leave McDonald's. You should be banning
all right,
McDonald's.
Let me stop you right there.
Hold on a minute. You know?
Now you're talking about America.
Exactly.
McDonald's American. You can get breakfast
at any time.
That's right. Any time. Heart disease.
And damn it, if you die overweight from heart disease, that's the way God meant for you to die,
right,
and
that's
not
a
by
beautiful
some
way
some
to go.
Bitch ISIS.
Absolutely.
Some bitch.
Instead of banning the
NASCAR.
Immigrants, ban Ronald McDonald.
You're talking crazy.
He said that on my podcast. This is my last podcast, ladies and gentlemen. No, great you brought up. We're talking about the refugees. Okay, we're going into the Christmas season. And this is the beauty of their hypocrisy. Because the ultimate refugee was the Holy Family. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Mary and Joseph were trying to get in, were being turned away everywhere. They were literally refugees that had the baby Jesus. So if you're Christian, your entire religion is based on a refugee. I love this. This article was written. I want to give credit where credit's due because this was written by... Wow, the irony. Her name's Candida Moses. Moses.
Oh, nice. Moses. I thought it was Christmas. I thought her name was
Moses. But anyway, she says that she wrote this article, "The Bible is Crystal Clear About Refugees." Okay, and she talks about, while it is certainly true that Christians face persecution in Syria, there are risks that should not be minimized, blah, 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 blah. But then she talks about, from almost the beginning to the end, the Christian Bible instructs its audience to accept foreigners and strangers and to offer them hospitality. The parable of the Good Samaritan is about offering assistance to those who are political and social outsiders. And this is one I love. She says, in the Gospels, Jesus is clear that the kingdom of heaven is for those who help the needy by sheltering, feeding, and clothing them. Those who don't are goats, and you don't want to know what happens to the goats. Huh. So literally, the Bible literally says, do not fear the stranger, the lost, the one, the home,
right.
You know, the one who comes
need.
To your door, yeah. The needy. Do not fear them. God will protect you. Help them. And it's Christmas. And they are literally saying, turn away the refugee. Like I've said this before. If Jesus showed up tomorrow talking about help the poor, the needy, peace, they would literally say, listen, Jesus.
Yeah, right.
You go back to Mexico where you came from.
Right. You're a socialist. You're a socialist and you're a liberal.
Jesus would be the most liberal socialist, no good bitch.
Well, the crazy one is with Jeb and Rubio, was it, that both said let the Christian...
That's what they're saying.
Let the Christian Syrians in. And then somebody asked Jeb, they go, well, how can you tell they're Christian? He goes, well, you could tell.
Because
the reporter goes, how? He goes, well, yeah, you could tell.
No, you know how you tell. They get to the border and they're like, are you a Christian? Kill the gay. Said, come
right.
on in.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. It's like, you know, all you need is like these guys are like, listen, they're only letting Christians in. So I guess we're all buying crosses? Yeah, great.
Right.
Cross chain? Perfect.
Right.
Fantastic. We're in.
Oh,
right.
Man. And how great would it be if they said that in Arabic? Like if they were literally
right?
standing in line
right?
in Arabic, talked about how to buy crosses.
Right.
And, you know, and imagine the poor guy at customs.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who's supposed to be able to tell.
Yeah.
So he's the one. We've all gone through customs.
Sure.
There's some guy in a booth looking at passports all day. And now he's got to look at this some bitch Syrian. But is he one of the good Christian Syrians?
Right. Yeah.
Or is he one of them no good Muslim Syrians?
Got to ask like a trick question. All right. Jesus is on a cross. Do you A, help him off?
Right.
B, get some more nails and nail it in harder. Or three, blow them up. You know, it's like, blow them up. Ah, C, Muslim.
No matter what the question is, C is always blow them up.
Right. Right. We got them.
You see a child laying on the street. Do you A,
offer him a meal?
Offer him a meal. B, take him to the hospital. C, blow him up.
The terrorist is like, I can't help it. Blow him up. Blow him up. Right. Oh, we got another one.
Ah, you tricked me.
We got another one.
So this is why you can't argue with them. You can't argue with the extreme right wing, and it's the same as the extremists in Muslim or extremists in anything. You can't argue with them because their position defies logic. So how can you tell me you're a Christian and everything you do is in direct opposition to what's in your Bible?
What the true values
when I say your Bible, I don't mean it like it's not the Bible or whatever, but I mean these particular people who say that we take the Bible literally.
Their interpretation of the Bible.
You know, this is why we hate gays and why women can't have abortions and blah, blah, blah. Everything in the Bible, we stand by the Bible. And this woman wrote, there are over 30 passages in the Bible about accepting refugees, helping the lost, helping the needy. And they're like, no.
Sure.
So how do you argue?
Listen,
with that?
It all goes back again to fear and insecurity, because what it is these things. I took a class in college on sociology of religion, and it was talking about how religion helps give answers to people. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm all for people, if you have a religion and it helps you and you're good and it's like to each his own, fantastic. But the problem is that it gives answers to people who are afraid that maybe the answer is not the right answer. Maybe there's a gray in there. Maybe there's grays in life. So if you don't know if there's grays in life, then you can go to the Bible and be like, oh, yeah, see, the Bible says gays are bad. So that's my decision. Gays shouldn't get married. Oh, the Bible says whatever. There's going to be Jesus comes in Armageddon. So there's going to be a war of the worlds. And see, it's obviously happening. The Muslims are coming after us. So we need to support Israel and cause this war to happen. Like that's part of there was arguments that like Bush believed in the end of days coming, and so he wanted to facilitate
so it justified
that.
His actions. Right.
So when you have those answers and you're not willing to step back and go, wait a minute, this book was written thousands of years ago, and maybe some of the things it says, maybe gay people aren't that bad. Maybe, you know, I got a gay neighbor, and these guys are really nice guys. And you know, maybe them getting married will not ruin my life and end civilization as we know it. Like that's a moment of going, wait a minute, all my beliefs might have been wrong.
But having tolerance and acceptance doesn't cost you anything. And that's the thing that a lot of people who are ruled by fear fail to make that connection.
Absolutely,
if you open yourself up and you are more tolerant of things that aren't necessarily in your lifestyle, it doesn't affect you. But they're so afraid that it will.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
That goes right back to the thing of people not traveling. Like I travel a lot for my work, and I've had a chance to go to the Middle East, and there's so many good people out there. Most of the people I've met are good people just living their lives. Now, the unfortunate thing is when I tell somebody I've been in the Middle East, they're like, oh my God, like they laugh. Like, what are they like? I'm like, they're like you and me. Like they're just trying to get through the day.
Sure.
And yes, there's bad elements in that. Like there's bad elements here. There's criminals here. Those guys who did the things that they did in France and these guys that are blowing themselves up, they're ultimately criminals. All right.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
That's the thing, and I've been to the Middle East doing military tours, and it fascinates me as a part of the country. But I've always said the funniest thing in the Middle East is how different it is than what's portrayed in the news. And I remember a particular tour of Israel, and I got to move on because there's a couple of things. We got to get to some lightweight stuff before Sully gets mad. But I'm remember,
not even mad. I'm tolerant.
This is great, man. He's tolerant. He sees the grays.
Right. Exactly.
A particular tour of Israel.
I'm not fearful.
We went to Bethlehem. We went to Bethlehem, and the Israeli Jewish tour guide couldn't get out, and it had to be a Palestinian tour guide to show us around because Bethlehem was in the West Bank. And then we went to Jerusalem, and now the Palestinian guy couldn't show us. The Jewish guy had to show us around, right? And I said, you know, you guys, don't hate each other. You guys are working together to hustle American tourists.
Sure.
It literally was like the old Bugs Bunny cartoon where the wolf and the sheepdog punch the clock and go at it all day and then punch other things. Like, really? Then, you guys hate each other? Because I didn't see hate. I saw you steering me to some ripoff souvenir guys, and then I saw you steering me to some other ripoff
souvenir. And now you got to tip two people.
Right.
Because you're thinking, I can't just tip one and say split with the other guy. They're enemies.
Right.
So yeah, now, moving on. We're comedians, and it's what we do, and we make fun of shit, and we make fun of people. Hillary Clinton. This story is hilarious to me. Okay, the story is that because the Laugh Factory put up a video of various comics making fun of Hillary Clinton, that some one of Hillary's staffers or thugs or whatever called Jamie Masada, the owner of the Laugh Factory, and threatened him, unless you take this video down, there's going to be consequences and repercussions.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to shut down comedy.
Now, this whole story is fake, okay? Now, I'll admit, I made the same mistake of believing a fake story. A couple of weeks ago, someone sent me a story from the CBC, from the Canadian News, the CBC, saying that a Texas prison was going to allow the prisoners to have guns because it was within their Second Amendment right. Now, in my defense, I believe that story, A, because it was from the CBC, and B, because it was Texas, and I believe that could happen in Texas. Sure. The thing about the Hillary Clinton story, for one reason I know it's fake, is because Hillary herself has made fun of her pantsuits. Like, Hillary's done, she's made fun of herself regarding her appearance and the pantsuits and stuff. So I seriously doubt one of her thugs would get on the Laugh Factory. But it was interesting how this story grew. So it started with something in the Drudge Report. Then Sean Hannity mentioned it. Then Rush Limbaugh mentioned it. Now it's considered true.
Oh,
now, they talked to Jamie Masada, and Jamie said, look, somebody called.
Some guy named John.
Yeah,
right.
Some guy named John. Yeah, who didn't reveal his last name.
Obviously, it could have been a prank call. It could have been just one person angry at Hillary jokes or whatever.
Right.
Which is interesting, because usually it's the right wing that gets all crazy about jokes. Usually Democrats can either take a joke or they're too politically correct to complain.
Right.
But the beauty of this, the hilarious beauty of this, is how this story grew to become fact.
Right.
I saw people posting it on Facebook. I saw a conservative comedian. Yes, they do exist. They're not that funny, but they do exist. But he was like, "How?" This was what I loved about his thing. He said, "How can I vote for this woman as commander in chief when she can't take a joke? Yet you can vote for a guy whose foreign policy is bomb the shit out of him. That's okay.
Yeah. Right.
But if the president
because that's
couldn't
no joke. That's real.
Well, listen. First of all, to turn this on the Republican. If you remember, on the eve of the Iraq War, they were selling a line. They were all saying it. They were saying, if you criticize the war, you're criticizing the troops.
Sure,
you can go find this.
Sure, yeah.
And I remember, I was doing Bush jokes leading up to the war with Iraq, no problem. Then on the eve of the war, I was actually doing a show at the Improv right here downstairs, and I said I did the Bush joke, and I could feel the tension in the audience in liberal LA of people not wanting to laugh. Because they were like, oh, this is criticizing the troops. They got into that a little bit.
Yeah.
So they sold that line to try and shut people like us up to go, don't make fun of the, you know, and I was saying, like, who's making fun of the troops? No one's saying, like, you know what? I love the administration. It's those damn troops that are pissing me off. Right? But they sold that line.
Yeah. It's this is the same group of people that complain about victimization and being politically correct.
Absolutely.
You know, so, but this is what they're trying to accuse Hillary of. But it's so funny that no reporter stopped and said, that doesn't sound right.
No,
you know what I mean? That's what a reporter's job is supposed to be, right? A reporter's supposed to say, wait, that doesn't sound right. Let me check. Oh, that was John.
Yeah.
Man, that was John.
Oh, John. That was crazy tricks.
John, you almost got me. It was John.
Well, you know, a reporter's job is to investigate, but nowadays it feels like a reporter's job is just to retweet.
Sure.
Just retweet.
Sure.
And
that's
they
what
say that they claim they have to do it because the stories happen so fast. And I do shows every year at the L.A. Press Club, and I always make fun of them for stuff like this because it's like, you're not doing your job. You're leaving your job up to us.
Yeah.
We're comedians.
Yeah, sure.
We're the ones who are doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So you know, John, got, are you John?
I'm not John. In this case, I'm not John. I promise I am not John.
All right, because I know you got Jamie Masada's number.
I do have his number, but I promise I am not John.
Do me a favor. Call and say my podcast should not be allowed so I can get some publicity and some more listeners.
Right?
Right. That's what
move.
You want,
Hi,
right? You
smart
want,
move.
You want John to call and say, this is the worst podcast ever
I'll
and it should be banned from the airwaves.
I'll see if I can get in touch with this John.
You're gonna call, I mean, you got to call and ask Alonzo to edit out any mention of Hillary.
Right.
So
right.
Then that will get, you know, the Limbaughs going.
All right. We got a couple of minutes left. Straight up. Here's a question. They polled America. America has spoken.
All right, America.
Some bitch.
Tell
61%
you know.
Of Americans pee in the shower.
Why not?
Yeah, that's what it's there for.
Pee or not pee,
it's
I got two
They
pee.
Shouldn't put a little drain in the middle there.
There you go.
That's what it's for. You just can't have regular water
and also
running
hot,
down.
Hot water makes you want to pee, doesn't it?
Sure.
That's part of the. Isn't that the old trick that you're supposed to do when your friend was sleeping? You put their hand in warm water and they would pee,
so
pee
on themselves?
You, yep. Yeah. All right.
Yep.
So America's
No problem
spoken.
With that. I'm
no
good with America.
That.
All right.
Good job, America.
USA. USA. I bet you the immigrant. I bet you the refugees don't pee in the shower.
Well,
because they don't have a shower.
The Christian ones.
The Christian ones.
Yeah,
that's,
only the
that
Christian
be,
ones.
That should be the test.
That is
the
test.
Do you pee in the shower?
Test.
Welcome.
When you step in the shower, do you A, pee, B, not pee, or C,
blow the shower up?
We got another one.
All right. Now, happy Thanksgiving. I'm going to give you a few Thanksgiving facts that I came across.
Oh, nice.
That I found interesting. Very interesting things about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade originally featured live animals from the Central Park Zoo.
Wow.
But they were occasionally, they roared and scared the children, so they were replaced with balloons.
Isn't Whoa. That the isn't that the movie Madagascar, isn't that based on that, where they take off, right? I think that's what happened.
There you go. Now, speaking of floats, the floats in the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade used to be released into the air after the parade because Macy's didn't know what to do with them.
Oh, wow.
However, they included a ticket that would fall to the ground after they popped. And if you found the ticket, you could redeem it for a prize at Macy's. Now, considering about a month ago, we had an airship get loose with a mile-long tether dragging the ground, and they couldn't figure out how to catch it.
Right.
Because nobody thought, well, maybe if we grab that rope, you know, I think we've come a long way. I think we've come a long way.
And that's the movie. Macy's. That's the movie Up. See, this all goes into animation, man. This is great.
All right. Here's one that's interesting. This will bring an end to this levity.
Nice.
Native Americans have been holding a national day of mourning on Thanksgiving since 1970.
Hilarious. Wow. And they need a PR person.
Well, what they needed to do was a few hundred years ago stop them refugees from coming
there
in.
There you go.
And they wouldn't have these problems today.
So that day of mourning is just about as old as Kwanzaa.
About the same age. It is against the law for supermarkets, department stores, and other big box stores in Rhode Island, Maine, and Massachusetts to be open on Thanksgiving. So they don't get to start their Black Friday
until 12:01.
Until actually on Friday.
Right.
Some bitches ain't American.
Ain't American.
Here's the one thing I don't like, though, is that they're pushing up those Black Friday sales to where it's just, now it's like stores are opening at 6 and 4. Like, they're not even waiting to.
Well, there are a couple of stores, like REI, the big sporting goods chain. They said they're going to stay closed on Thanksgiving so their employees could actually have dinner with the family.
But in some respects, though, the reason they are doing that is because most of their business is online sales.
Right.
So it's a way to get them publicity.
But if you work at a store, if you work at the mall, you can have Thanksgiving lunch.
Sure you can.
But you better have your ass back at the mall by dinner. Right? That's how it is now.
I mean, my question is, how much do people save? Like, if it's really that much of a savings, like, can't you just, anticipate that it's coming, Christmas is coming? I'm sure there's other sales, Memorial Day weekend has a sale.
I'm going to tell
you. Go buy it during Memorial, where you won't get tased. Remember last year some lady tased another lady?
I I know someone who does this, and they do it partly because it's exciting to them, but they do. They said if you're the first at the store, they do have ridiculous bargains. They have loss leaders. And it's like with car sales, right?
Yeah.
You know how they always have, and I used to be in the car business, they call it the ad car. There's one car that is for sale at a ridiculously low price. It's only one car.
Yeah.
And by the time you get there, it's gone.
Right.
Somebody already bought it.
Right.
But it's the same way. So they will have the 50-inch television for $500.
Yeah.
But they only got 10 of them.
Yeah.
And
right.
you have to be there and you have to sprint. This is why people sadly get trampled to death at Walmart, which is
sure.
really ridiculous because you're getting trampled for cheap Chinese goods. Like if you're going to get trampled,
yeah.
get trampled at Nordstrom. You know
right.
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Right.
Get,
yeah.
And have a little
trampled.
Piano player in the background.
Yeah. Get trampled at Bloomingdale's. Make it worth getting trampled.
Yeah.
But, you
yeah.
know. This to me is the ultimate irony. I did not know this. President Lincoln created the Thanksgiving holiday in 1863. Do you know why?
Why?
It was during the Civil War and he wanted to keep the country together.
Wow.
Wow.
I was going to guess to free the slaves, but I just thought
no,
that would have been.
That the Civil War
yeah.
had
no, the,
nothing
the slaves
to do.
Had to work.
Yeah,
it was,
exactly.
it was Black
you,
Friday.
Had to,
that's
yes,
Black
yes,
Friday.
Didn't
yes,
you pay attention?
Meal.
Zulie, there was no slavery. That was the history of the Southern Confederate flag. Whatever. You making that shit, some bitch.
Hey.
Keep making that up. They were agricultural workers.
Right.
Did you hear
right.
that story?
No.
A Texas school book wrote that
oh my God.
Instead of slavery, they said it was immigrant agricultural workers.
Yes.
That's what they called the slaves.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Immigrant agricultural workers. So
that movie should have been 12 years.
I don't know. Yeah.
Immigrant
agricultural workers.
Immigrant agricultural.
Yeah.
So it's Thanksgiving. So listen, if you're in Rhode Island, Maine, Massachusetts, don't get in line because the stores
no.
ain't going to be
no,
open.
No, they're going to be closed and enjoy some family
time. If you're
time.
A Native American, we mourn with you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you're anywhere around Macy's and you see one of the big balloons, just grab it and take it. And
yeah,
say, oh,
take it home.
I thought there was a That's... prize inside.
Yeah. yeah.
Or turn it over to the government and they'll just let the floats go because they don't know how to stop them.
Yeah, and if you're a refugee, maybe next year. Maybe try next year. We'll, rework your study the questions, and get the right answer, and don't blow it up. Right?
There you go.
Right.
There you go. So that's it, people. Who's paying attention? 128. Thanksgiving weekend. I'm gonna be in. Where am I gonna be? I'm gonna be in Virginia at the Arlington Draft House. In Arlington, Virginia, and next week I'm going to be at Morty's in Indianapolis. You guys got any gigs coming up you want to plug?
I'm doing the Ice House Thanksgiving weekend in Pasadena, and I'll be in Toronto
nice.
the December 5th.
I am at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach Thanksgiving weekend, and then the following week I'm in Lake Tahoe at Harvey's.
Very nice. Cool, very cool. And Thanksgiving's coming, so just listen, take the weekend off, all right? We'll talk about terrorists and blowing shit up and Donald Trump and everything else again next week. But for this weekend, this America, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Let's go shopping.
Yeah. Go NASCAR!
You,